my cup.
Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, Lord, feed me till I want no more. Here's my cup.
My cup, Lord, I live.
Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of
my soul.
Bread of heaven, Lord, feed me till I want no more. Here's my cup.
One more time, amen.
Yes, fill my cup, Lord.
I lift it up.
I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsty.
Pastor Moore was mentioning that you can't box God in.
Right.
No.
And I kind of giggled a little bit about that, thinking, yeah, if you're going to deal with God, you got to think outside the box.
Right.
At that moment, some brother Childress had said right here, where he was talking about snake handling, and he was talking about not really doing anything. And then he said something really important. He said, you know, it's never been the serpents that crawl on the ground that's really bothered me too much.
Right.
It's always been the two-legged ones that's always bothered me. And then I thought about that, and the two got just placed perfectly together for me. And I thought about, like, moving mountains.
Yeah.
I've flown over the Rocky Mountains. That's a big mountain range.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Flew over it 6 times. Not once has it ever really gotten my way.
Right. That's right.
It's not that big of a deal. It's been mountains of circumstances that has gotten in my way.
Right, right.
When I had MS, I couldn't, I even forgot how to walk upstairs. A cloud got over there and in my brain, I couldn't remember how to do it. And I remember saying, Lord, you're going to have to do something, or I can't continue my walk in this pattern. I can't do it. I have to have this removed. And I never really put the whole thing together, but how many things have we let stand in our way, whether it be illness, injury, people? Like I said, those two-legged bags of dirt has caused some problems too. And a lot of those. But it's the circumstances that's always been our problem. And any circumstance that's in your way I don't care what it is. If it's in your way, just move that mountain. Those are the mountains that we really need moved. The Rockies, all these other mountains have never really gotten any of our way. It's not that big of a deal. But there's been two-legged mountains. There's been circumstances, illnesses, injuries that have gotten our way. And those are the mountains that we need moved the most. And God's already said, if it's in your way, if it's interfering with your walk, just move it right out of your way. And it's worked every single time for me because we serve a mighty God. And no matter what mountain that is that's in your path, just say, God, move it out of the way. And it will get moved. It worked for me. He's not, he doesn't care about an individual. He's not worried about me in particular. If you meet the same circumstances, he'll do it for you. If it's in your way, just say, Lord, move it. It's interfering with my walk, and it will be moved because it's worked every single time with me, whether it's been person, illness, whatever it is. It's always worked, and it will work for you. So any mountains that's in your way, just say, Lord, move Amen. That mountain, Amen. And it will be moved.
Appreciate it. Are you getting up? Go ahead, Sister Joy. I thought you were testifying. Are you? Okay, come on up.
So happy to be here. One of the things I've learned since I've been coming here is not to miss any services.
Yeah.
You know, because... that's where I get my strength and my help. And when I don't come or I'm sick or something, then it just makes me weaker. You know, God's been so good to me. You know, he chose me before the foundation of the world existed. I was in his mind when he went to the cross. He died for us, the elect. And if he wouldn't have done that, I guess we'd just be lost. And... there's this little guy that works up at the gas station where I go. And one Wednesday night, I went in there, and he says, what are you doing out so late? And I said, well, I just got out of church. Oh, you go to church? And he's asking me all about it. So now every Wednesday and Sunday night when I go in there, he goes, you just coming home from church? You know, and then he'll ask me a few things. Well, what'd they talk about? You know, and... So I'm glad to be a witness. You know, I always pray, God, don't let them see my flesh, but let them see you coming out of me. Let them see you in me, but not me. Because I'm nothing, and he's everything. And I just look forward to the service today.
Amen. God bless, Brother Mike. Sister Joy?
Anxiety that rocks your mind. I'll be your shield when you don't feel like you've got strength enough to fight. I'll stand by your side. I will carry you through your darkest night when you're terrified. I will carry you when the waters rise, when your hope runs dry. I will carry you. You are not the sum of your mistakes. You don't have to hide the parts of you that ache. I chose you as you are a million times, 'cause I am not ashamed of you. I won't walk away from you. I will carry you through your darkest night when you're terrified. I will carry you when the waters rise, when your hope runs dry. I will carry you. the mountains, valley deep is the oceans. When you can't keep going, I will shoulder your burdens. Up on over mountains, valley deep is the oceans. When you can't keep going, I will shoulder your burdens. I will carry you through your darkest night. When you're terrified, I will carry you. When the waters rise, when your hope runs dry, I will carry you. I will carry you through your darkest night. When you're terrified, I will carry you. When the waters rise, when your hope runs dry, I will carry you. I will carry you. I will carry you.
Sorry, sis, but that song touched me so much, because you don't know how much he's carried me this week. And I'm not struggling when I'm talking. I'm just crying because I'm happy, because I see it. Because I'm right there, right smack dab in the middle of it. And I feel like the most blessed person in this place right now. The most blessed. Y'all not as blessed as me. Because I'm thankful for good health. Amen. You know, earlier in the week, you know, my son Micah got sick. And, you know, I thought it was COVID. And, you know, went to the doctor and found out it was something else. But, you know, he said, this too shall pass. So we got through that. Just wanted to give you a little bit of how God's, you know, carried me, right. You know, because, you know, when you got kids, you know, yeah. you're concerned for them, you know, right. I got to watch them go to school. I got to let them go every day and trust God that he's going to take care of them in school. That he's going to take care of them when they're home by themselves, trying to recover. You know, sometimes you can't be there, but, you know, God's always there.
Right.
And so another thing that he carried me through is I had a dead tree in the backyard. Supposed to cut it down a long time ago, but I didn't. So the thing fell down, and it just missed my house. It's just laying right there, and it's like right there, just missed my back patio by like 5 feet. But I'm just sitting here giggling, crying, going through all kinds of different emotions while sister's singing that song, because you just don't know until I speak. That's why your testimony is so important. Until I speak, you just don't know how good he's been. You really just don't know how good he's been. You don't know how sweet the sound when you hear something that you can identify with in here. And it's like, oh my goodness, hold on. Let me tell you what he's done for me. It gets you excited. I'm excited to be here right now. This is his party right now. Let me just tell you a little bit more, because, see, I got the mic right now.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, he's been good, and I missed the service. Like the brother said, you don't want to miss a service, because you really do get weak.
Yeah.
I don't. If I miss a meal, man, I'm going to start thinking crazy. I'm going to start using my thinking. That's let me rephrase. I'm going to start using my thinking. Yeah, and I don't want to do that. So I was on a job in Cincinnati, and met this sister. She's probably listening right now, so I'm talking about you. Yeah, girl, I'm talking about you. But, you know, I had been there for like almost the whole week. Never said nothing about God. God never come up. God's always there, though. And just doing my work and everything like that. A couple of things, you know, the Micah sick, getting sick issue hit me in that week and everything like that. So I had to move things in my schedule and everything. But we started talking one day that I was there working, and she just kind of poured herself out, just poured her heart out. And I just received it. It touched me. Because she had all these health complications, but still just sitting there, just smiling, just happy. Every time I come around, she's always got a big smile on her face. And I'm the one with the loaded revelation. And she don't, you know what I'm saying? She got a smile on her face. Don't have no revelation. That just goes, that was a rebuke to me. You better have a smile on your face because he's been so good. You know, he's just been so good. He revealed himself to me. Why wouldn't you want to smile? Why wouldn't you want to just raise your hands? So I'm like, okay, girl, you got me stirred up over here. It touched me. You know, so we start talking and stuff like that. And, you know, she's like, oh, which church you go to? I'm like, oh. I go to this, Fairborn. It's in Fairborn. And she's like, oh, yeah, what's the name of it? Are you guys like online and stuff like that? I said, well, yeah. And just gave it to her, you know. And most people, you know, you do that too. They don't even look. I come back the next day, okay? She's like, I didn't know you play the drums. I was like, what? Hold on. How do you know I play the drums? She's like, I saw you right there. First, I didn't know it was you until you laughed. And I was like, oh my goodness. So she knows my laugh too. And so like she's listening. She said, oh my God, I enjoyed every single thing. I was like, what did you lit the service? She said, no, I binge watch everything. And I'm like, what? And she's like, I loved everything, but I have one problem. I'm like, oh Lord, just, I didn't know what I walked into. So I'm like, oh God, just like, I wanted to just zip up and hide. Like, so she's like, I have one problem with it. Who's the pastor? And I fell out. I started dying laughing. She couldn't figure it out. And so I'm listening to, because what I get here, it testifies of itself out there just by our walk, you know? So she's like super excited. She's talking and quoting Brother Moore, quoting all the brothers, quoting all the testimonies. I'm just sitting there like, amen, 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 amen. And I'm like, whoa, this girl. And she's like, this is amazing. And she's like, you know how most churches, they'll talk about something and it'll be the focus for the day and it'll just be on one thing. She said, the pastor was hitting this, hitting that. By the time he was done with me, I felt like I had bullet holes all in me because I died. And I started screaming, I was shouting, I was so excited because this thing is real, okay? And you know what I've come to find out? You know, I'm not trying to figure out how this thing works anymore. Because you know why? And let me show you something. As a matter of fact, here's another testimony. Here's another witness right here. Because, man, I'm starting to realize here what this Jesus called Christ really, really, really is. Because, see, you can try to figure it out all you want to, all day long. But unless that word moves out of the scriptures, in out of the pages, and into you, it just has no effect. It has no effect in you. So let me just show you this because I'm so excited, man. I'm like blown away because, see, that scripture in there, those people that testify, they testify of me. Every type, every shadow, every foreshadowing was pointing to me. So when you look at me, I am the full embodiment of everything that the word points to. It's no longer I. It's him in flesh, period. So this lady, okay, we were working, John and I, at a client's house yesterday, and we were doing some electrical. This lady was like super skittish the whole time. When I first met her, I was trying to help her. I gave her my card. I was doing something at Lowe's and gave her my card, and she was like, you really know how to do electrical? I'm like, yeah. And you know how to put this light on? I'm like, yeah. I said, just give me a call if you want the help. If not, then that's okay. You know, I'm not going to make you choose me. You gotta want me. Ain't that a God trait, you know? So like we get to her house and we're doing the job, and they're like, right now they're licking their chops because like we're putting everything together within record time for what they thought would have been eternity, you know, that it would have took to fix this thing, let alone them thinking us can fix it, you know. So she's like, she said something about praising God, and I said, oh, praise God, you know. And then she's just, the atmosphere, you know how you can just feel the atmosphere get a little lighter? So she wanted to share something. So I thought it was really funny because she shared something with me out of their devotional book, right? So this is, I took a picture of it because I'm like, oh, I'm sharing this. You don't even know. Because when I said I'm the full embodiment of what the word points to, this is it right here. So it said December 3rd, it says his handiwork. We're just sitting there doing work. And it's just telling who we are, and they miss it. This is how they miss it. It says here, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance. So, what, I mean, what did you bring? He did this in advance before you even got here. Amen. So you can't put nothing on it. Okay? You can put, I believed on it. Yeah, you can put that. But it says here, that's out of Ephesians 2:10. So it says here, and then it says here in the drop down here, it says God has prepared moments and situations that will help you grow and become your best. Trials will strengthen you. Doubts will encourage you to question and deepen your faith. Rejoice. You are his masterpiece, an instrument of his grace. And that instrument of his grace was standing right before them. Oh my goodness. I got to stop right there because I'm just, man, I'm going to blow up. I'm so happy to be here. God bless you.
God bless you. Sister Johanna.
I was just sitting there and I was thinking how God, every song and every testimony was tailor-made to help me, you know, to fill my cup. Because I was thinking today, I told my kids, I was like, you better eat your breakfast because this might be a long message. Because I know I'm bringing a pot today because I need some advice from God. Like, life just comes at you sometimes, and there's times where you seek God a little more. Mm-hmm. And then I was thinking, I'm not just expecting from the pastor. I'm expecting from myself, too.
Right.
Because I don't want to just sit here. I want to be involved in every service. I want to move up every service. I want God to speak directly to me. Yeah. And I don't want him just to speak to me. I want to listen and put in my life and be blessed from it. Yeah. And I was just in there. And I was thinking a couple weeks ago, me and Dwayne listened to that Daily Bread from the Voice of God recording. And when I heard it, I loved and sent it to Tina. But then I was like, it really blessed me now. It was a scripture I'd never even read before because they do a scripture and a quote. And it was talking about how every trial you go through is even greater than gold. Because that's when Brother Brandon said, when you can't get through it, under it, around it, when God brings you through it, that's right. When you see the glory of God. And that you need to praise God for those trials. And I was just thankful. I was like, I'm getting to the point with Daisy where she's getting a little older. And the parenting things are not the same as they were when they were little, like, don't run in the street. It's getting to be bigger things. And I just want her to put this God first because that's what's going to bless her. I was like, you can never not have any trials, but when you listen to me and Daddy and God, it'll make them a million times easier.
Right.
And then I want to do that for my own self. When I'm going through trials, I want to listen to Dwayne and God, and it'll be a million times easier for me. And I'm just thankful for this place. I'm thankful to come and get encouragement. Sister Joy's song, your testimony, it just was so helpful, and I'm just thankful.
Amen. God bless you. Amen. Come on up, sister. Amen.
I'm thankful for the trials, too. When I let God fight my battles, it's so much smoother. When I try to think through it, worry about it, it doesn't work out so good. It makes it longer. I'm glad for the teaching I get here.
Amen.
I'm just glad to be here.
Amen. God bless you. God bless you. I got a song, page 155, Food in the Storehouse.
Amen.
And Brother Tom used to do this. He'd ask people to sing, but I normally don't do that. But this time I'm going to have Brother Ted come and help me with this. I was reading through it, and I was like, man, I'm messing up that timing, and I don't want to mess up this song. Yeah. And I know he's the one that made sure we had all the words in the book. So.
That's right.
No better
That's
person.
Right. In this day, men are in dark from the true word. Many shall part.
Spoken to love.
Amen, amen.
Amen.
Appreciate that, Brother Ted.
Beautiful.
Amen. We're going to do a quick announcement. Remember, we got Bible study tonight. Tomorrow, the young people have practice. Is it 6:30? 6:30 tomorrow. Looking forward to that. They're going to do their recital on the 11th at 7, so I'm looking forward to that. Yes, that's next Sunday. Evening.
7 p.m. next Sunday.
Next Sunday, 7 p.m., and they're going to have treats and stuff in the snacks afterwards. So we're going to come and have a good time for that. Also, remember, we got New Year's service coming up, so make sure you plan for that. It's been on my calendar for 30 years. It's just reoccurring. I kind of crack up because you get to the point now where different people do different things on New Year's. And when I was a kid, I didn't even know anybody was doing anything on New Year's. I just thought church was on New Year's.
Right.
Then you start working and going out there, and people are like, yeah, what are you doing for New Year's? I'm like, what I do all the time. I'm being in church. And they're like, what? Yeah, I thought you guys all did that. As a matter of fact, it was Y2K was one of the first times we saw like the ball drop because we didn't have the thing on the evening. So it was kind of one of those weird things. But anyway, I'm glad to be here. Appreciate the testimonies. It's good. Yes, sir. Make sure to get this on the tape. So that Christmas service, Christmas Eve, we will not be having Christmas Day. We will not have service. And then the day after New Year's service, we will not have Sunday service that day as well. So January 1st. Make sure we remember that. Mark that. We've only had that one time. Remember how we canceled the evening services and people were showing up and we hadn't put it on the website. So I want to make sure we got that out there so the guys can get it updated. Amen. Appreciate the testimonies. Good to see God turning some people on with what he's doing. We're a blessed group of people.
Amen.
Appreciate that.
Might have a couple more. Let me jump in here quick. You know, I just think about, you know, faith. Me and Jim back here talking at the beginning of service about it. And, you know, it's not hard to believe God. You know?
No.
And that's all he wants. Right. You know, we make it so hard. We make it, you know, it's got to be anointed faith. Well, it's got to be this. It's got to be that.
Yeah.
I don't want to just have mental faith. You go round, round, round. Just believe him.
Yeah, just believe him.
You know, he rides in on your faith.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how many times Brother Branham at his healing service, you know, he'd say, well, as you believe God, be it unto you according to your faith.
Right.
You know, go on your way believing.
Yes.
You know, mm-hmm. and I just laugh. The devil, he tried to make it so hard.
Right.
You know, you got to wait around and see if you're predestinated first before you believe God.
Right.
Believe God.
Yeah, believe God.
That's what he's looking for. He's not looking for anything else. And, you know, if you can receive the word, just receive it. If you believe the word, just believe it. If you need a healing, just believe him for it.
Right.
You know, it's that simple.
Yeah.
It's that simple.
Amen.
He said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible.
That's it.
No, there's no fine print. It's just if you can believe it.
Yeah.
And I'm so thankful it's just that simple and just that real. You know, if a drunk in the gutter can get his healing, you
come
know,
on,
not even being a son of God, and certainly not living a righteous life,
right?
Then how much more, you know,
right.
A son of God?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you don't wait till you're son of God before you start believing God.
Come on.
Believing God is what makes you son of God.
Right.
You know, get this. You know, don't get the cart before the horse.
Right.
And I'm just thankful it's that simple.
Amen.
I think every time, every service, that's why it's so important to me to come to service, because every time I come, it's that much more simple.
Yeah.
Amen.
It's just simply that simple. You know, God has made a way, and he got a requirement, and it's just only believe. How many times Brother Branham sung that song? Only believe.
Service, yeah.
All things are possible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and don't let Satan make anything hard for you. Every obstacle, every mountain, everything he brings before you, just tell him, I believe God. I just believe God. You know, and truly believe him. Look for him to move. What if he doesn't? Oh, what if he does?
Yeah.
You know, he surely ain't. He'll never do it if you don't believe him.
Right.
The Bible says it's impossible to please God without faith. So let your faith run your life. Let your faith go before you. Walk by faith, the Bible says.
Amen. God bless. Sister Dawn?
I'm just grateful to be here.
Amen.
And I'll behave myself. That's between me and Pastor.
Yeah, watching you.
You know, I'm thankful because John and I were talking this morning, and we just thought we'd read Matthew, you know, where talked about the Christ child.
Right.
And, you know, in that thing in Matthew, never had I read it like that before, every time they spoke of something, it's because the prophet said it in the old day. Mm-hmm. And there was like three or four different things that the prophet had spoke about on his coming. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and then Christ, it went on in, and I kept reading, and it goes into Christ saying, you know, to Satan, he was being tempted in the wilderness. Mm-hmm. Put the word on it. And the Son of Man, the first time, it was nothing but the word being fulfilled.
Right.
And it just was so bright to me this morning. That's what we are.
Yes.
The Son of Man. And fulfilled. We are fulfilling scriptures for our day.
Amen.
And it's nothing but the word made right. flesh.
Amen.
And, you know, it gets brighter and brighter yes. and brighter. And, you know, that's what it's going to take. It's a rapture, and all we do is putting the word on it.
Amen.
When you get a healing, it's because he said, by his stripes
Amen.
I'm healed. It's only putting the word on it that makes any difference in
Amen.
The world. And I was just blessed this morning, and I wanted to share it.
Amen. God bless you. Amen. Amen. God bless you. The song is called God in My Present. And last night, I mean, Wednesday night, Brother Jeremiah was talking about how God is the author and the finisher
yes.
of my faith. And we're going to sing this, but that one of the verses says, you write my story.
Right, right.
You
right.
hold it all together.
You hold it all together.
Oh, my, let's sing that. God in my present.
Amen.
Get him up. God of my present, God of my future, you write my story. You hold it all together, God of my present, God of my future. You write my story. You hold it all together, so I believe that I will see the goodness of the Lord, and I'm confident that as seasons change, your faithfulness remains. You are the Alpha. You are the Alpha and your Omega. You're in the middle. You hold it all together. You are the Alpha and your Omega. You're in the middle. You hold it all together, so I believe that I will see the goodness of the Lord, and I'm confident that as seasons change, your faithfulness remains. God of my presence, hallelujah. God of my present, God of my future, you write my story. You hold it all together, God of my present, God of my future, you write my story. You hold it all, God of my present, God of my present, God of my future, you write my story. You hold it all, God of my present, God of my present, God of my future, you write my story. You hold it so all I believe together. So I believe that I will see the goodness of the Lord, and I'm confident that as seasons change, your faith
faithfulness remains. So I believe. So I believe that I will see the goodness of the Lord, and I'm confident that as seasons change, your faithfulness remains.
Come on up, Pastor Moore. God of my present.
God of my present.
You hold it all together, God of my presence, God of my future. You write my story, you hold it all.
So I believe.
So I believe that I will see the goodness of the Lord. I'm confident that as seasons change, your faithfulness remains.
So I believe.
So I believe that I will see the goodness of the Lord, and I'm confident that as seasons change, your faithfulness remains.
So I believe.
So the goodness of the Lord, and I'm confident that as seasons change, your faithfulness remains.
Heavenly Father, we're so grateful this morning to be gathered into this house. Lord, you are our God, and you are so faithful to you, your word, so faithful to us. And Lord, as we come here today, we move everything aside so that we can spend this little time with you. And Father, we ask you to come amongst us. You said where two and three are gathered, you would be here. And you're here this morning. So now we ask you to take the next few minutes and speak to our hearts. And move every hindrance aside, all the problems of the week and the battles of the mind. Just move them all aside, Lord, that we can have your word here this morning. Speak to us to give us guidance and direction. Lord, there's many out there that are sick that need a touch from you, the brother Parnell, and Lord, just touch him. And Lord, we know that Dawn is still struggling with some things. I ask you to touch her and John and Sister Donna, different ones. Trevor, God, ask you to move in their behalf. Lord, our families are depending on us standing in the gap for them. And Lord, we're depending on you standing in the gap for us. Ask you to have your way this morning. Move every hindrance aside so that your word could walk these aisles and reveal itself to us today. Thank you for all you've done. And continue to be with us, Lord, as we move forward. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning.
Amen.
And to know we're wrapping up the year, it's on a downhill move now. A couple of more weeks, and Dwayne reminded me, a couple of more weeks, and we're done with this year. And I remember when we're first starting to announce the New Year's services. It seemed like it was early. We were starting to announce it early, but we really weren't, because we're here. And so we want to get prepared for that. I'm looking forward to that. New Year's service is always special. And I haven't really invited any particular person or preacher or church. It's always open for anybody, but if no one comes but us, we always have a good time anyway. So we're making plans for that. It's good to see Sister Kim here. And it's good to have her here today. And it's always always good to have people come by, and it's always good to have people, period. Because I would be an awful mess me trying to preach to nobody. It takes both the speaker and the hearer. You know, it takes a combination of us all. And so I'm glad to see that you've joined us, and some that tune in on the internet. Now, when you're tuning in on the internet, this is not a substitute for a home church. Just so you know, I believe in having a home church. Amen. And you say, well, they don't preach all together what you preach. I believe in having a home church. I believe it's healthy to gather yourself together. And you say, well, you shouldn't say that. They don't have what you have. They don't have to have what I have. What brings God on the scene is not the person. It's the person of yourself and your faith in God. And it's not about dragging you out of your church and bringing you to my church. It's not about having people tune in just for the sake of tuning in so I can count numbers. I've seen that done before. I don't believe in that. But I do believe it's healthy to have some place to go, a home church. And if they don't give you 100%, you can always come back and tune us in. We'll be here. You say, well, if I go to their church, that starts at 10 o'clock. Well, come to ours later. I'm not barring you from coming to us. I'm just saying it's not healthy to not gather yourself. And the reason I got to say it is because the scripture says it. Yes. See, I got to stay with the word. I don't care how much I like you. Amen. You know, the scripture says, forsake not to assemble yourself to that, and that much more. Because God knows there's a need for the body to be, you know, there's a difference even between tuning us in and being physically here. And ask Melanie. She's done it for years because she was in D.C. and she's tuned in, but she's here now. And anybody who's ever been here and had to listen from home or away, you know it's not the same. And because there's something about being where the people of God are. You don't give that enough credit. But gathering where the people, not where the tapes are, not where the CDs are, not where the internet is, gathering shoulder to shoulder, human being to human being, of other believers. It's like cell to cell. You know, that's how God builds a body. So gathering your gather is important. And you say, well, why are you talking about that? I don't know. It wasn't in my notes. It just came out. I don't know. I don't control these things. I just know it must be needed today, that somebody's tuning in that needs a home church. And if that's what the case is, I encourage you to go and do that. You say, now you done picked on me. No, I'm just standing here. I ain't trying to say nothing. But I do believe that is what I believe, because I know there's people who follow the message that all they do is listen to Brother Branham's tapes. And I don't go for that, because, you know, God is a moving God. And it's not that we don't believe what Brother Branham is. I could go back here and get Brother Childers tapes and we could play those and they would be 100% the truth. But Brother Childers tapes won't help you today. See, you need the I am present tense. God is always the I am present tense. You can't even go get last Sunday's service and get the benefit out of it that you need to get. There is fresh manna coming this morning. Amen. The food that's in the storehouse is coming forth right now. Amen. And this is the fresh kill. It still has blood. And what makes it fresh is because it's coming out right now. And not something that's all boxed up and put away since 1965. And so I'm not even all together. And I'm not even saying don't listen to tapes. I listen to them. I got Brother Childers reel-to-reels from 1970s. And I said some Sunday nights we'll put one on just so you all could hear Brother Childers in his youth. You know, but as far as moving forward and what God's doing, you need me. Amen. You say, well, that's awful conceited. I'm sorry. How can you hear except it be preached? How can he preach except it be sent? See, I got scripture for everything. I'm not just out here trying to pull you to me. It's not even about me. If I wasn't standing here and Jeremiah or Jay were standing here, it would still be the I am present tense. Because it's the word of God in the people of God. And Brother Branham said, it's the word of God coming out of the mouth of God. That's what it is. And so it's not about me. It's not about Jeremiah. It's not about our church. It's about God requiring you to gather yourself somewhere. Because where the carcass is, where the word is, there will the eagles be gathered together. That's the word of God. I'm sorry. You'd say, well, I don't like you saying that. Too bad. I already said it now. So now I can move on. So I'm always glad to be in the house. And glad to have the word of God coming forth fresh. And so that's what we want, fresh killed. Eagles only eat fresh killed. Eagles don't eat something that's killed in 1965. I got to take what was killed in 1965 and freshen it up for you. To let you know what it meant. Brother Branham said, you preachers get it and break it down to the people. That's our job. It wasn't for us to look at him. It's for us to look at y'all, to look at us and have us break it down to you. That's why we do what we do. So, okay. Now I'm here. I got something here. And if you would turn me over to Proverbs chapter 3, I got a scripture I want to read this morning. You know, the thing about it, people always try to think it through themselves. They try to work things out themselves. They try to get themselves answers. And you can't. You can't do it yourself. If we could do it ourselves, Jesus Christ died in vain. So if you start with me over here in Proverbs chapter 3, starting with verse 1. My son, forget not the law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Now, that's a good point right there. I could take this verse by verse and have a whole service on each one of these verses. Don't forget the law. I mean, a lot of times we get over here and we forget the law. And we forget that, well, nothing matters. It does matter. The law shows you that you're guilty. Had you not had the law, you wouldn't even know how bad off you were. If it wasn't for the law, you wouldn't even know you needed Jesus. So don't forget the law. He's not trying to say, just throw the Bible away. You know, a lot of people are, I can do anything I want. You can do what he lets you. Yeah, you want to do what he wants you to do. He wants you to keep his commandments. And people think God just threw the whole book away. No, he didn't. And it's like Isaiah was saying, you know, people are watching your life. What do they see when they see you? So if you forget the law and you don't keep the commandments in your heart and your life, now we'll get down to those commandments. But if you don't keep those things, you ain't going to be no kind of example. You ain't going to be nothing nobody's going to want to look at. People think, oh, it doesn't matter. Yes, it does matter. Oh, well, I can. No, you can't. Well, I can get away with. No, you can't. If God is living in there, God's going to tell you what you can and can't do. That's right. He is. For a length of days, we were talking about this at one Sunday night Bible study. Somebody's talking about a long life. Here you go right here. For a length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. You don't need to have your life tore up. If everything's topsy-turvy and nothing's right and everything's blah and you can't smile, somebody's talking about smiling this morning. You can't smile. You can't enjoy God. You can't enjoy life. You're down on everything and everybody. If everything's all that bad, then something's wrong. You forgot the commandments of God. You've laid things down that you should have kept because there should be joy in this thing. There should be peace in this thing. You should have answers when nobody else has answers. You should find a place where you can rest in the middle of all hell. Yeah, that's right. Amen. And you shouldn't be worried about everything. No. If you're worried about everything under the sun, that everything that moves, everybody that gets what goes on, you know, people are worried. They won't come out of the house now. They won't do this. They won't do that. They're scared of everything. Right. You can't serve God being scared of everything.
Right.
Fear is torment. Yeah. God don't have chickens.
No.
He got eagles.
Amen.
They're bold.
Yeah.
They're brave.
Yes,
they're tough.
Fearless.
They're fearless.
Amen.
They fly high. They see far.
Right.
And if they do get down, it won't be for long.
That's right.
Even an eagle will get down.
Sure. Yeah.
Don't kick yourself for getting down. Just get up.
Right.
I'm only down as long as I realize I'm not, as long as I don't realize I'm down. But the moment I realize what the problem is, wait a minute. I'm an eagle. Wait a minute. I'm a son of God. Wait a minute. I got promises. I got hope where the world has no hope. I've got answers where they have no answers. I can smile while they're crying. That's an eagle. That's a believer for you. Trust him. Let him have it. Turn it loose. Quit trying to think. Quit trying to do it yourself. Because you can't do it.
Amen.
That's right.
Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. If you got mercy and truth in your life, that means you got grace for somebody else. But you got truth that's going to pick you up. Look at the Bible. The Bible's never been negative. The Bible's never been down. The Bible's never left you with no hope. The Bible's never left you without a direction. The Bible's, he said, whenever there's a trial, whenever there's trouble, and anything that comes your way, I always will make a way out for you. Well, when everybody else is down, you should be up. When everybody else don't know what's going on, you should be happy. I'm happy with my life. I'm happy with what God's doing with me. I'm happy in the direction he's taking me. You know what? Because if I wasn't happy, I'd change the direction. That's all you got to do. There's no need of you going the wrong way and just keep going. When you get lost, don't just keep going lost. Turn around. They say, man, I never asked for direction. You know, a woman, she'll pull over in a minute. She's like, hey! But men are stubborn. They're hard-headed.
Well,
little proud. I ain't pulling over. I ain't asking nobody for help. I ain't and he'll get just he'll drive 100 miles out of the wrong in the wrong direction. All because he won't ask nobody. When you're wrong, you're wrong. Repentance is just turning around. When you're lost, turn around and get found. When you don't know where you're going, get found so you can know where you're going. There's no reason a believer needs to be walking around here acting like they don't know what's going on. Reason no people around here, the churchgoers, trusting in God. Don't forget his commandments. I'll lead you. I'll never forsake you. Those are his words. We need to learn how to trust God with his word, because we're not using his word. We're using our own thinking, trying to get answers without going to the one who has the answers. You don't have to be confused in this hour. You don't have to be depressed in this hour. You don't have to be down in this hour. Let the word of God lift you up. Let him give you hope when there is no hope. When the rest of the world don't know where to turn, you should know where to turn. When they don't know how to get help, you should know how to get help. Don't forsake his commandments. Don't forget and put grace out there. Put mercy out there for everybody. People forget. Sometimes they get so much God, they forget mercy. They get so holy that they don't know how to give somebody grace for them their own problems. Because I figured they must be pretty good. You know, the high priest, he's pretty good. His daddy was pretty good. His granddaddy was pretty good. And when they ran across Jesus, they couldn't accept Jesus because the high priest had a good lineage and Jesus was born out of marriage. Look back. Don't forget to have truth and mercy. Don't forsake them. Stand behind the word of God. What is truth? They asked Jesus.
The word is truth. Stay behind the word. When you got the truth behind you, so you don't have to worry about back up. See, I don't have to back up because I stay behind the word. When I get up here to preach anything, I always got scriptures and quotes behind it. You ain't going to pull me out on a limb. I ain't going out on a limb. I ain't been in a limb in 40-something years. And it's the reason I don't go out on limbs is because I stay fortified behind the word of God. You don't have to go out on limbs either. You don't have to be confused either. You don't have to go back and forth. See, I don't go back and forth. When I take a step, it's God. I never have to say, wait a minute, was that the right? No. You don't see that here. Mm-mm. No, that's the way God walks. He won't step back. He has no joy in those who draw back. So if you're back and forth, it's God, it's not God. I don't know if it's right. I'm not sure. You need to get yourself in the Word of God. Because the Word of God has never been that way. The Word of God is yea and amen. That's it. So you need to be fortified behind the word. When you take a job, when you take a wife, when you take a position in the church, out of the church, at work, at home, in the neighborhood, wherever you're going, you should have the word of God directing you.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
So shall thy find favor and good understanding. When you got the word of God behind you, you got God's favor and you got a revelation. You got good understanding. Not just understanding. You got good understanding. You know where you're at. You're not tossed with everything and everybody. And you're not determined how you're going to be because of what somebody else thinks about you. Oh, you have favor with God. If you have favor, God, it doesn't matter what man thinks. Matter of fact, if you get this right, if you get the word in you, you'll have favor with God and man.
Amen.
You will. Amen. You will. You won't be the worst. You won't be the worst employee.
No.
You won't be the neighbor that's out cussing everybody out and shooting up the neighborhood.
No.
You ain't going to be the worst kid in the house.
No,
you're going to have favor with God and man.
Right. Yeah.
They're going to look at you. They might not even know why you are like you are. But they'll know there's something about you.
Yes.
They'll know you're a little different.
Yes.
They know that they can depend on you. They can trust you because, what? You're the Word.
Amen.
You can depend on the Word.
Amen.
And when you're the Word, they can depend on you.
Yes.
If I can't depend on you, then I've seen something other than the Word in you.
Amen.
Word is steadfast.
Amen.
Unmovable.
Amen.
And always abounding. That's the word.
Amen.
That's the word. See, I got more scriptures than I have written up here. I'm so full of the word of God that I can't help it. They just come out.
Amen.
Whatever's in you, going to come out.
Right.
If the word of God's in there, the word of God's going to come out.
Yeah.
The word of God will recognize the word of God.
Amen.
If you don't have the word of God in you, sometime you'll hear the word of God and you're like, huh? Need to read it a little more. Need to listen a little more. Pull it in. Don't just hear it. Take it and apply it. Put it in your life. Let it be a part of you. Don't just let it be a side dish. Let it be the main course. So shall thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord. People don't trust God. You feel like you got to hang on to stuff. You got to hold on to stuff. You got to keep stuff. You got to have the last word. You don't trust God.
Right.
You're doing this yourself. You're holding on this. See, some people are walking this walk themselves.
Right.
And God ain't even doing it.
Right.
And they're doing it. And the way you know that they're doing it is hard. It's a hard way.
Yeah.
When I hear the sister get up and say, oh, headship is so hard. That's because you're doing it.
Yeah.
When I hear the brother say, this message is too hard or it's rough. That's because you're doing it.
Yeah.
When you give up and let Jesus take over, it becomes easier. I told y'all there's two yokes. There's Satan's yoke, that's a yoke of bondage. And then Jesus said, take my yoke upon you because it's light. My burden is easy. It's not going to be hard to serve God. I don't struggle to serve God. I don't struggle to come to church. I don't struggle to let God have his way.
Amen.
This ain't no fist fight between me and God.
Amen.
because I ain't doing it. And as long as you're doing it, you will fight. You will struggle. It'll be hard. The way of the transgressor. When you surrender, when you give up, as Brother John Holland used to sing, give up and let Jesus take over. And he'll make a way. This thing ain't hard. Serving God is the best thing that ever happened to you. Should be. If you can't say amen to that, you're still fighting. If this thing ain't sweet to you, you still trying to put your hands on the wheel. If this thing is rough and you don't know what to do and you can't hardly come to church, and then when you get here, honestly, you can tell them, if I did testify, because I ain't going to testify because I just had such a bad week. And then if I testify, the first thing I'm going to say is, nobody knows. The trouble I've been. And you got a negative song. You got a negative testimony. You act like God didn't give you breath. You act like he didn't let you live. He's done more for you this morning than he's done for ages. Just this morning, he woke you up in your right mind, healthy enough to come to church, and gave you a way to get here, got you here amongst the believers, set you amongst the saints of God. Oh, that's just the beginning of it. Your heart's beating. Your lungs are taking in air. Your blood's running warm in your veins. Yeah. You're not in the hospital. You're not in the cemetery. You're not in the funeral home. If that ain't enough to praise God, I don't know what to tell you. I don't even have to go to the revelation side of this. All I got to do is look at what he's done for you so far today. Don't forget it. Trust in the Lord. Amen. Put all your trust in him. Amen. Don't trust your mama. Don't trust your daddy. Don't trust your preacher. Don't trust your brothers. Don't trust your sister. Trust in the Lord.
Amen.
Yeah, all those other things are at some point let you down. But he said, I'll never leave you. Never. You can trust in something that'll never leave you. Oh my. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, not part.
Yeah.
Don't give me a little bit of it. Say, Lord, I'll trust you on Sunday and Wednesday. Lord, I tell you what, Lord, I know. I'm going to give you 3 days a week. I'll give you three and I'll take four. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Give it all to him.
Amen.
Give him your job. Give him your kids. Give him your spouse. Give him your home.
Yeah.
Give it all to him as his anyway. It's not even like you got a bargain with him. It all belongs to him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, not part of it. Don't come half-stepping in here. That means somebody that's lukewarm, somebody that's good enough to go to church, but not good enough to go to heaven. Yeah, I didn't think I was going to say heaven. Good enough to go to church, but not good enough to go to heaven. Well, how do you get good enough to go to heaven? Eat the word. Because Jesus says there's none good but God. So the only way that you're going to be good is to become God. And if you become God, then you are good. You're the word. You become the word.
Amen.
Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding.
Amen.
Don't trust your good smartness, your brains. I'm a smart person, so I know. You know, some sisters won't give it all to their husbands because they're smarter than him.
Amen,
amen lights. I know it anyhow. They act like, what you talking about, Rufus? You know it's the truth. But see, what you need to understand, it's not about your smartness.
Amen.
It's not about his abilities. I'm not the head of my home because I'm smarter than Clarice. I'm the head of my home because God's word said I am. And I trust his word, so that puts me in that position. Then there's no fight, no fuss, no argument. I don't have to prove to her. The word says it. She said, but I'm smarter than you. I paint better than you. You sure can. That may be so. But the word says. See, the wife should be throwing it on the husband, not because she said, I don't want to do it, I want to give it to you, but because she knows what the word says her place is. You can't even say that out in public nowadays.
Oh, my goodness.
You can't. But it has nothing to do with your intelligence or your smartness. Oh, you might be able to do calculus and your husband can't. But you do the calculus and then take the answer to him and say, so are we going to buy this or not? And if he's a smart man, he'll listen. Because see, it ain't even about, I got all the answers. Oh, your spouse comes up with a lot of answers. And a smart spouse will listen to their spouse. See, I put it in so neutral so you don't know whether I'm talking a husband or a wife. Because it didn't matter which one. A smart spouse will listen to their spouse. How would it be me running this church and never listen to y'all at all? It's just, I don't got to do this. Y'all got a lot of better ideas than I do. Y'all have a lot of smart ideas. But you bring them to me, and I say, oh, yeah, that's a good idea. Let's do that. It doesn't take away from you. It doesn't take away from me. I'm not trying to say, I didn't think of that, so, we ain't doing it. It's not about that. It's a body ministry. A home is a body ministry. They're both working together. Lean not to your own understanding. Don't just sit here and try to figure it out yourself. Try to use your education. Well, I've got a doctor of divinity. I've got this. I've got that. That doesn't mean nothing to God. That don't mean a thing to him. He wants you to lean on him. He doesn't want you to use your own thinking. Now listen to verse 6. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. And he shall direct thy path. You want to know which way to go? Ask God. You want to know how to solve a problem? Ask God. You want to know how to fix your home to make it like it should be? Ask God. You want to know how to make the church like it should be? Ask God. Acknowledge him in everything. And if you acknowledge him in everything, he will direct you. That's why you don't have to go backwards. Because you acknowledge him. You say, Lord, what should I do? He said, do this. You do that. Lord, what should I do now? Go over here. Okay. And he'll direct your path. And I never seen God stepping backwards. I never seen God take the children of Israel out of Egypt and take them back. See, that's what they wanted to do. They were trying to use their own understanding and thought, Moses, we'd have been better off to stay in Egypt. But Moses was like, we ain't going back. Got to the Red Sea, got there, and there's a mountain on one side, Red Sea on the other side, and Pharaoh behind him. Moses was like, oh, Lord, I know we're not going back, but Lord, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? And God told him, he said, why are you crying? See, if you are a believer, then you don't need to cry about nothing. Just trust in the Lord with all thy heart and acknowledge him and give him your way. Just trust him and let him direct your path. He will lead you all the way. You won't be taking back your steps either. You won't be going, well, and God told me. Because see, sometimes people, it's funny because they'll say, God, hallelujah. God told me that this is my church. Hallelujah. God spoke to me. And next thing you know, when they get offended, they're stumping out. But I thought you said, that's what, I did that to one of my tenants. I got tickled because in, what was it, November? October. No, it was October because it was October. I got on him about something. So, I don't know, some of these are like little kids. So he stormed up to his apartment and he come back down with his handwritten note. This is my official notice that I am leaving in 60 days. This place sucks. sound like? Thank you very much. I just took it, date stamped it, and kept it. Took it back to the office, stuck it in a file, and I told my assistant, I said, he ain't going nowhere. I said, I just leave it in his file, but, you know, he ain't going nowhere because he's given me one before. He ain't going nowhere. So the other day, he came to my office. And I forget what he wanted. But he wanted something, and it won't happen until January. I looked at him and said, I thought you were leaving. Oh, where am I going to go? I said, I know. He said, I was just mad. I said, I know. I just put it in your file. You ain't going nowhere. That's like us. We ain't going nowhere. You might huff. You might puff. You might not like what the word's telling you. It might be raking you over the coals. You might not like what it's telling you to do. You might say, I can do better somewhere else. And you ain't going nowhere. You're like Peter. Lord, where else can we go? When you're under it, when you're under the word, when you're in the presence of eternal life, where is she going to go? You got to be where the word is. Acknowledge him. He'll direct your path. He'll lead you alone. He'll tell you what you need to do. So I want to title this, Lean Not to Thine Own Understanding. Don't you trust your memory. Don't you trust your life. Don't you trust your goodness. Don't you trust how smart you are. Lean on him. You say, but I'm really smart. I can do a lot. Lean on him. I don't care how smart you are. Lean on him. As smart as Moses was, as smart as everybody else was, they had to lean on him. Because see, the thing is, God's not going to run this thing according to your understanding. He's not going to run it according to the way. See, you don't even know what you need. Amen. You think you know what you need. Amen. You think you know what's right. But you don't know where God's going to take you. You don't know what God's going to use you for. You don't know how God, when I first come to Smash, I never thought I was going to be a preacher, let alone a pastor. Wasn't planning on, didn't even want it. My understanding said no. But I can't lean on that. I got to lean on God. You got to lean on God. You don't know where God wants you to work. You say work doesn't have nothing to do with it. Work has everything to do with it. Because you got to remember, you're not here for yourself. You're a servant of God. And God wants to place you where you need to work because he needs to run across somebody. It ain't about you. You say, God's got to give me a good job with good benefits. God might not give you any job and have you unemployed in the unemployment line so you can meet John Smith that's going to stand in line in front of you and you're going to have to give him eternal life. But I don't want that to happen to me. It's not about you. Lean not to your understanding. Your understanding says, I want a good job. I want good benefits. I want this. But God says, no, I have need you to go by this way. He'll direct your path. And when you know that you're leaning on him, you don't have to even worry about the path. You don't have to worry about where he's taking. I've been to some places that I think, Lord, I don't want to go. Lord, I don't want to do. But you know what? Lean not. I told John, I told John yesterday, I think it was yesterday. I said, John and Don, I was over there. I said, just John, I said, beware. Let me tell you now, beware. I'm getting ready to retire from that job. And I'm getting ready to do some things for God. And I said, beware, because the devil always pokes his head up when you do something for God. I told him in fact, I said, just be ready, because, you know, Brother Brown, he talked about the congregation. He said, you'll be in the church and in Christ's ministry in the sweetness of the Spirit, and God will raise somebody up. And if he has to put, he said, the devil, if he has to put somebody in amongst you, and he'll shoot them with something, and it'll go through the congregation. It'll hurt your church. It'll hurt your pastor. But that's the way the devil works. But I'm not worried about that because I'm not leaning on my own understanding. I'm following Jesus. When God says move, I move. I'll leave job. I'll leave money. I'll leave whatever. I'll leave house. I'll do anything. It doesn't matter because none of this stuff means anything. If I could be in the will of God, that's all I want. If being in the will of God means living in a tent, I'll do it. I don't have to have a house. I don't have to have this. I don't have to have that. The thing is, we have it all in our head what we want. But lean not to that understanding, but yield yourself to God because you don't know what God wants to do with you. All he wants is somebody to be flexible, willing. He wants a vessel. He wants to be able to move in and live out of. And don't you worry about your future. Don't you worry about your job. Don't you worry about your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your lifestyle, and all that. Just lead it all unto him. Trust in the Lord with all thy might. Yes. And don't lean to your understanding. Amen. Keep God first in your life. Jesus told us there in St. John 13, he said, "New commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that ye also love one another." There's a commandment. People think it's the 10. No, Jesus said, "I got two of them." He said, "I'm going to sum it up in two." He said, first of all, he said, "Love your neighbor." And over there in Matthew 22, he said, they said, "Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus said unto them, that's Matthew 22, verse 37, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is likened to it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Right. On these two commandments hang all the laws and the prophets. That's right. Yeah. If you can get those two things down, Pat, you're good. Yeah. Don't worry about the other eight. Right. Don't worry about what the Old Testament says. Don't worry about the prophets. Don't worry about all the laws. If you get those two down in your life, love God and love your neighbor.
Amen. Right.
Because with that, you're going to have a good report. I'm not saying everybody's going to love you, because they don't. The devil ain't going to love you. The devil don't want nothing to do with you. But if you love God and you love your brother and you treat your brother with mercy and grace and you have mercy for people. I have mercy for people who treated me really bad. I mean, really bad. I mean, really bad. And things turn around and God makes them have to come back knowing that my love for them has not changed. See, if it's the love of God, it doesn't change. Amen. People's love change, but God's love doesn't. Amen. If you love somebody with agape love, God, I can outlast you. Your hatred, your meanness, your whatever, your devilment, whatever you got cooked and up, you know, eventually that's going to run out. But my love will still be there. You might tell me off and stomp out of here, and then 10 years later come back and think I'm going to just rake you over the coal. I ain't interested. Just come on back home. Just come on back where the word is. Love and mercy's in this place. You know, I don't even ask you where you've been. People walk out of here and they go away and they come back after years of being away and disappear. I don't even ask them where they've been. I don't even ask them how they got back here. I don't. If they want to tell us, that's fine. That's their story. I don't need to know. See, a lot of people want people to come and confess. But their confession ain't for the good of the church. Their confession is for their nose. They want to know what you've been up to, what you've been into. Give us more details. I don't need details. God knows where you're at. It's none of your business. And you know what? That's a trick of the devil, because people stay away thinking that we're going to demand them to come back and do something. I'm like, no, come on in. Come on in. You're welcome. I got mercy and grace. I wear it around my neck. If you need grace, I got it. If you need mercy, I got it. You need love, I got it. You know, that's Sister Alice's song. I saw love, mercy, and grace. That's all you see in Jesus.
Amen.
Now, Brother Branham said, death, the law of death was a commandment given on Mount Sinai, which told man that he was a sinner. And to transgress God's law, he died. But there's no salvation in the law. It's only a policeman that can put you in jail. It has nothing to bring you out. But then he gave another law. That was at Mount Calvary, where sin was reckoned in Jesus Christ. And there the penalty was paid. And not without law, but grace. By grace are you saved. By the grace of God, through predestination of God's foreknowledge of your being. Now we see these two laws, Deuteronomy, speaking of two laws. There were two laws. One was a law of death, and one was a law of life. We all came here under the law of death. Sold in sin. Then Jesus came. Then he set us free. But when he sets us free, he doesn't want us to keep using our thinking. He wants us to die to our thinking, die to our wants, die to our plans, die to our futures, and don't use our understanding. But use the word. See, people, y'all don't know how powerful the word is. If you use the word of God in every instance in your life, you can't miss. Let it be in you. Let the word, let this word be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery. It wasn't robbery when Jesus said, I'm God. It's not robbery when you say you're God. It's not robbery when you say that God has made himself one with you. Because if the word is one with you, God has to be one with you. It's John 1:1. Just as much as it was made flesh in Jesus, it's been made flesh in you. That's hard for people. That's hard. It's only hard when you use your own understanding. That's why, you know, somebody, I think it was Don, he said, and I'm going to have to disagree with him. He said this morning, he said, it's easy to believe this. And I said under my breath, if you're a believer, if you're a believer, it's easy. But if you're not a believer, it's hard. They can't, and they try. They mustered up, they wrestled up, they tried to fix it up, and they tried to, and they tried to, and they try, and they try, and they try, and after a while they put her out. Why? Because it's hard. They're transgressors. You were talking to believers. Oh, that's why I didn't holler it. That's why I didn't holler, because I knew what you were saying. I said, yeah, he's right. And then I said on my breath, if you're a believer. Because as easy as this is for us, it's just that hard for the world. They hear us. They don't understand us. They can't understand how you can have faith in God. They can't understand how you can give God everything. And they say, well, you're just blind. It's just blind faith. This is not blind faith. This is real faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. The very evidence of things not seen. If I have faith for a body change, that means there's a body change for me out there. And I have faith for that because I have faith in the word of God.
That's
right. See, I'm not just out there throwing it out here. I don't have faith that I'm going to walk out this door and a Mercedes-Benz is going to pull up in the front of this church and pick me up and drive me off. Now, I could have faith in that, but it ain't the word of God. And chances are, very good chance, that real good chance, that ain't going to happen. So your faith has got to be based on the word. If your faith is based on the word of God, you can bank your life on it. I will be at the marriage supper. I will get a body change. I am an overcomer. See how the believers talk? That's how you should be talking, church. And you're saying all these things, and all those three things I said, I'm saying those things because that's not my wishful thinking. I'm saying those things because the Word of God said it. The only reason it's real is because the Word of God says it. And His Word shall never fail. Oh, the Mercedes is not in here. That may or may not happen. But a body change is in here. And it's guaranteed to happen. I'm not trusting in my own understanding. I'm not trusting in my own abilities. When you get sick, Brother Branham said, you are really sick.
Yeah.
Don't deny it and act like, you know, some people have this faith that, you know, they think that if you just ignore it and you don't talk negative, you know, when Clarice got pregnant, when she had her baby, Michael, she was pregnant and she had this theory. If I don't read anything negative, then no negative can happen. Wrong. She skipped the chapter on postpartum blues. She didn't want to hear it, so she read right on past to, oh, and here comes the baby. Didn't read it. Had Michael. Got home. Well, no, I didn't think he got home. She's in the hospital. Postpartum blues hit her. She didn't know what to call it. She's just like, oh, what's going on here? I said, postpartum blues. Well, I didn't read that. It's still real. It's still real. But when the word says something, It's real whether you believe it or not. When he says we're going to be changed in a moment of a twinkling of an eye, you cannot use your own understanding to understand that. But by faith, you can understand that. I'm looking for a body change because the word said it, not because I feel like I'm going to get one. I don't even feel like I'm going to get a body change. You don't feel it. You just know it. You believe it. I'm not leaning on my own understanding. My own understanding can't even fathom a body change. I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know how it's going to work. All I know it's going to work. Why? How do you know it's going to work? Because the word said it. See, you people need to start using the word of God and quit using your own understanding. And when I say you people, I'm not excluding myself either. Us people. We the people. We believers need to stop using our thinking. Stop trying to guide God through our life. Because what we want to do is we want to have our life and serve God. We don't mind God being in the back seat. But we don't want him in the driver's seat. He ain't going to sit in your back seat. He ain't going to sit in the passenger seat on the right side. He's going to drive or he ain't riding. He wants to be able to take you where he wants you. The only hands he has are yours. Only eyes he has are yours. If he's going to bless anybody, he's going to bless them through you. So you got to lean on his promises. Lean on his word. Don't try to fix your life. Let him have your life and he will fix it. He'll make you. I told brother, when Brother Childers told me I was going to be the next pastor, I told him, Brother Childers, no, Jesus will come first. I said, I don't feel like, I don't have, you know, it just doesn't. He said, oh, brother, when you step into that office, everything you need will go right in there. And I trusted that. And when the time came, that's exactly what happened. And it's like the body change. We don't know how, it's not a feeling. And we sit here and we say, well, I know we're going to have a body change, but I just don't feel that, you know, Don, that, you know. But the thing is, the key is, don't trust your understanding. Trust the Word of God. Lean not on your understanding. Lean on the Word of God. If the Lord says I am, David said, that word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin it against thee. That's why you put the word there. I'm moving on down here, trying to wrap up. I want to get done. I ain't done yet, but I want to get done. Brother Lockett said it back there, Philippians 2. That was my scripture, one of my scriptures. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, the form of God, God's form was a man. God's form is a man. Still is. If you want to see God's form, I'm do like Brother Childers. Who being in the form of God. See, people don't know how to read that. Jesus was God's form. Visible form. Who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, even though he was God, it didn't give him the big head. Even though you are God, it shouldn't give you the big head. And people say, well, how can you say you're God? I have to. I'm the Word. I am the manifested Word of God for the hour that I'm living in. If you want to see God, you have to find him in his form. All the way down through the ages. In order to find God, you had to find what form he was in. Thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. When I see people who are God trying to act like they're God, You know what I mean. These seers, these prophets who, you know, they become God. Real humbly. Preachers and bishops, we got the big thrones on the pulpit. And everybody has to humble themselves and bring them orange juice. And I always thought it was neat that the pastor got orange juice when we were at church when I was young. I was a kid. And the pastor would preach, and they'd bring him a covered glass of orange juice. I was like, man. And by that time, I was hungry. I always thought that was nice. But as you know, being God should humble you. It should humble you. That God would take this vessel and use it for His glory. It should humble you. Jesus was humbled. Who being in the form of God thought it not robbery, but made of himself no reputation, but took upon himself the form of a servant. We don't want to serve. I ain't going to testify. I ain't going to sing. I ain't gonna. Servants serve. You can't even be a servant if you don't testify. If you don't be a part of the body. You gotta be a part. Servants serve. How are you going to call somebody a servant that ain't doing nothing? How do you know they're a servant? They're bringing the water to Jeremiah. They're like, hey, sir.
They're serving.
Right.
Amen.
We are called to surrender ourselves to God so that God can use our vessels to serve Him. Jesus wasn't carried around by the 12 disciples. He washed their feet. He humbled himself. He gave them stuff to eat. He gave them the bigger rock to put their head on. You know, he humbled himself. First thing we want to do, climb some ladder. I got to be the head usher. You can't just be an usher. You got to be head usher. Can't just be a deacon. You got to be lead head deacon. You can't just be the pastor. You got to be the pastor bishop. It's like, you know, there's just, that's human nature. That's a problem, which is our human side is just so rampant. We can never just be a brother. Never just be a sister. Never just some of ourselves. We want positions. We want this. I'm a servant. Jesus, Brother Brad, just call me Brother Bill. And you know, the worst thing Brother Childers did for me in that sense is he told y'all to call me Brother Moore. That's been a knife in my back from day one. That's a constant reminder of me of Brother Childers. Because I was like, I'm Brother Nate. I've been Brother Nate all my life. I like Brother Nate. I don't care for Brother Moore. I really don't, if you really don't want to know the truth of the matter. And everybody just calls me Brother Moore because Brother Childers did it. But every time someone comes to me, that's like a Brother Childers right behind me. There you go. It's just a reminder. So, you know, but, you know, it's respect. I get it because I was the same with Brother Childers. I want to box somebody's ears. They call him Earl. I want to box their ears. I understand it. It's human. But I get it. And that's the only reason I don't fight it. But I'm just Brother Nate. You know, I'm glad to be called brother. Took on the form of a servant and was made in a likeness of man, and being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Oh, I come to every church service. Oh, I always give offering. Oh, I always, you know, give to the donations, and I always do this. He wants you. He don't want your money. God is not hard up for money. He owed taxes, told Peter, go down to the river. Get me some money so we can pay Caesar. The guy he doesn't need your money. He wants your body. He wants your vessel. He wants you to have faith in him and trust him and lean on him and not use your own understanding, but to trust in his word. And what his word says, I will be. Amen. And the thing about it, you don't even have to make yourself become the word. You just surrender to him and you'll automatically start doing what the word is ordained for you to do. Amen. Luther didn't have to go out here and practice. Nope. He just lived. Amen. He didn't know he was one of them. He was hoping and praying that God somehow would keep him and save him. But he didn't know. Wesley didn't know. Pentecostals didn't know their part. They didn't know their part of the body. We are blessed to know our part. And for us to know our part, now we can give it to him. Yes. We can give it to him. Really give it to him. Let him have it. Don't lean on your thinking. Don't lean on your career. Don't lean on your finances and your retirement and everything else. Don't trust in those things. Trust in God. Lean not to your own understanding. Lean on his word. Let his word have first place in your life. And he'll straighten the rest of it up. You want to have a good home? Put his word in there. You want to have a good job? Put his word in there. You shouldn't be the worst employee that they have. Oh, my goodness. I hope Jeremiah don't come to work today. God, that boy, he's a mess. Every time he comes here, he's lazy. He sits around. He doesn't do nothing, doesn't produce nothing. I just want to fire him, but I haven't found a good enough reason yet. I ain't caught him enough. Should be. When Jeremiah walks in, they should be saying, there that guy. I don't know what it is about him, but he's different. He's different than other employees. And your boss should like you. And I'm not saying the lovey-dovey stuff. I'm saying because you will produce Christ in the workplace. I bet you when Jesus was a carpenter, he was the best carpenter there was. Amen. Shouldn't be the worst one in your neighborhood. Kids running past your house because every time you go by your house, you cuss them out. Shouldn't be the worst neighbor. You shouldn't be the worst one in the church. I go to shake Brother Jay's hand, and every time I go his way, he know I'm coming to shake his hand. He walks, turns his back and walks away. Awful. Just awful. Don't want nothing to do with me. All right. We're asked to do one thing. That's believe the word. Acts chapter 16, and they said, verse 31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. So easy, Don. It's easy for a believer. It's easy. I don't struggle with the word. I really don't. This is not hard. I think about my 40-plus years of this. It has been the best 40, well, I was going to say best 40-something years of my life, but I only had the 40. The other 20 was when I was younger. But it's been the best time of my life. Your walk with God should be the best time of your life. You say, well, I can't say that. Then you need to start walking with him. It should be the best time of have everything gone my way? No, most things don't. Because I, using my own understanding, I'd do a whole lot of things a whole lot differently. I'd be retired from the military by now. I'd have been retired from the military 20 years ago, probably. But that was my understanding. God said, you ain't going that way. And I said, Lord, okay. And the thing is, see, you think it's, you have to learn to listen to God. It's just not going to happen because you say, oh, I want to follow God. I want to lean. You're going to learn that voice. Because it's not loud. It's a still small voice. It's a still small voice. And you don't have to listen to him. And you could talk louder than God. God will tell you to do something, and you'll say, this is what I want to do. And go headlong into a beehive. And then you get in there, oh, Lord Jesus, what happened? I was following you. You know you weren't. Because he told you, go this way. And because it wasn't lightning and it wasn't thunder, and the earth wasn't shaking, and the trees weren't losing their leaves, and people weren't passing out around you, and the pillar of fire wasn't over your head, you ignored it. But when you learn to listen to that small voice, because that small voice is going to match the word. Always. Always. It always matches the word. And when you step out on that still small voice, you will find that that is going to make your life something that you don't even know what it would have been. Not your own understanding. We're used to using that. We need to stop using that. We're talking about a body change. We're sitting here thinking, let's see, I think when I get my body changed, it's going to start from the top of my head and go down to the bottom of my feet, and I'm going to feel this tingle, and then I'm going to start just changing this way down, and it's going to happen such an American. That's you. That's just you. You have no idea. All we have is faith in God's word. God's word said, I'll be changed in a moment in a twinkling of an eye. That's all the goods I got on it. All this other stuff is just man's thinking. They come talking at these ministers' meetings of what kind of food we're having at the marriage supper. I don't even want to hear it because that's just their thinking. They have no, are we having mashed potatoes? Are we having chicken? Because, you know, preachers like chicken. Are we having... You don't know. Most people spend more time over stuff that they can't understand and they can't get a revelation on than looking at the things that are right in front of them. Amen. Just believe God's word and trust him. He will take you there.
Amen.
Brother Branham said, but look, friends, listen. Nowhere in the Bible are we asked to understand. See, that's what we do with our little thinking, our understanding. As long as I can understand it, understanding is not faith. Nowhere in the Bible did it say we had to understand it. We're asked to believe it. Believe it, but by what? By faith. If you understand it, then it makes faith annulled. Faith is only faith until you see it. I had faith that I was coming to church this morning. I don't need that faith now because I'm here. It annoys that the whole process of me having to come to church. I'm here. You're here. So we're asked to believe it. You can't understand it, but you believe it anyhow. If you could understand God, I wouldn't have to believe God. I do not understand God. No man understands God. I can't understand the word. I cannot understand the word of God, but I can accept it. I believe it. I'm not asked to understand it. I'm not asked to understand the word. I'm asked to believe the word. I'm not asking y'all to understand, because a lot of times people, we come to church and we have Bible study and we talk on stuff and you hear it and you don't understand. You couldn't, if I put a gun to your head, you couldn't spit it back at me. But I'm not asking you to understand that. I'm asking you, do you believe it? See, believing is easy, Don. And when you hear the word of God, you say it's right. It's the truth. There was a lot of things that Brother Childers preached that I didn't understand when I first heard it. But it tied in with everything else. I said, oh, I believe that. Right. And eventually I understood it because it's just my job as a pastor to understand things. And now I can understand it because who knew I was going to have Bible studies on Sunday night and y'all going to fire stuff at me left and right. And I have to understand it. But that's me. Right. But you don't even have to understand it when I explain it. Right. Just believe it. That's why Brother Branham's saying only believe. Yeah. Trusting not in abilities that you have mentally, but having faith that God said it and I believe it. I'd much rather have a church full of believers than a church full of doctrinated people who understands a bunch of words, quotes, and scriptures. I'd rather have a bunch of people who don't understand. I asked Brother Childers when I first come. Because they come to church, believe me, church, I kid you not, when we were younger, and Kim can verify this, when we came to church, those preachers came here with 8-10 books under their arms. And they set those books right here, and they preached and read and preached and read. And then us young people, we had thought, well, we need to study all this, and we got to have all this knowledge. And I'm going home trying to figure this out, and thunders, seals, horses, then orders, which came first, tribulation or the Armageddon, Gog or Magog, what's the order, and who's going up and who's done. We were trying to get all that stuff. I looked at Brother Childers one day and said, Brother Childers, do I have to understand all this? He said, nah. I said, good. Then I stopped worrying about it.
Right.
Because as long as you feel like you got to understand everything, you cannot have faith.
That's right.
It's okay to understand, and understanding comes by the Holy Ghost. But if you don't get to understanding, I'm not worried about that. I'm more concerned about you saying it's right. I'm more concerned about you saying that is nothing but the truth. Well, how do you explain it? Can't. And see, that's where you get people who don't understand. Because they look at you, and when you, it's really bad for you to be a Christian and stand out there and you try to explain something to somebody, and they're like, well, explain it, Jay. And you know you don't know how. It makes you feel bad because you think, man, do I have what I say I really have? Jay's like, but I can't explain it, but I believe it. I mean, that's the key point. Do you believe it? Not do you can you explain it. We're too busy trying to explain it because we're trying to use our own understanding. We're trying to use the same thing we did to get our degree in high school. Study and learn and quote and read. But it's not about that. Quit using your own understanding. If you can believe what I'm preaching, that's all I ask.
Amen.
If you can say amen to the word of God, amen. I ain't asking you to drop nothing. I ask you to lay nothing down. I'm not trying to ask you to change your lifestyle. I'm not asking you to change nothing. Can you believe?
Amen.
And if you can believe, you're not leaning on your own understanding. You're leaning on the word of God. Because all I got for you is the word of God. I'm not trying to tell you something else. I'm not getting you something outside of the prophet's message. Prophet didn't give you anything outside of the word of God.
That's right.
We're just trying to get you to believe the word of God. Not understand it, but believe it.
Yeah.
How many churches you go to try to tell you don't worry about understanding it?
Right.
Most of them trying to get you to learn something.
Right.
Got to have something. I appreciate it when you do understand it. Because you can help me explain it to people who don't understand it. But it's not a requirement. It is a requirement to believe.
Amen.
Did you hear that, church?
Amen.
It's not a requirement for you to understand it, but it is a requirement for you to believe it. When I'm preaching this morning, you may say, I don't understand how that works. Don't worry about it. But do you believe it? Yeah, I believe it, but I couldn't explain it to you. Don't worry about that. See, we spend so much time trying to get it to where we understand it. Don't lean on your understanding. Lean on your faith. Lean on your revelation. Lean on what God's showing you. When God shows you one thing, stand right there. If God only shows you one revelation, you know what? That one revelation will get you to heaven. How in the world can that happen? I don't understand. That's the word. Because God's not taking you to heaven because of what you understand. God's taking you to heaven because of what you believe. I believe it's the truth, but I don't understand how to explain it. That's fine. That don't even make me nervous. Because what we don't get here, we'll get there. You don't understand how the body's going to change? Get your body changed. You'll understand it then. You'll understand it better by and by. You say, well, I need to understand it. I don't. No, you don't need to understand. You need to believe. God's word said it. I believe it. Lean not to your own understanding. Let's look at Abraham for a second. Genesis 21, verse 1. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said. And the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God has spoken to him. Just think about that for a second. He got this old man. He got this old woman. Old is the key. Haven't had pleasures with each other for years. Both dried up and dead and gone as far as they're concerned. But God said, see, that's what you need to understand. God said, when God says it, that makes all the difference. Abraham heard God's word and he said, you know what? I could step out on that. Sarah, on the other hand, she wasn't so much. She took a little bit. Abraham had to preach to her. Because God come and said, I'm going to come and visit her at her time of life. She said, I ain't got no time of life. And Abraham's like, all right. But he probably is more like, all right, we're gonna make this happen. But when Abraham got the word from God, he could not see a thing. When he left Abraham, he was still old. Sarah was still old. They didn't understand nothing. They didn't know how it was going to work. All Abraham had was a promise. See, people, all you got is a promise. You don't need anything else. If God says it, you stand on his word. Don't worry about what it looks like. Don't worry about what you understand or what you don't understand. Abraham didn't understand how it was going to work. How's an old man? Is he going to be an old man to have a kid? Is she going to be an old woman to have a kid? He didn't know that God was going to put his youth in his body again. He didn't know God was going to turn him back young again. Right. All he had was the word of God. He leaned not to his own understanding and what his body was telling him, what his wife was telling him, what his neighbors was telling him. He trusted in the word of God. Amen. And stood right there when it looked bad. Stayed right there. Amen. Don't get tired of waiting for the body change. Stay right there. Amen. Don't get concerned about, oh, the rapture's been promised for so long and it hasn't happened yet. People get tired of waiting on God. I ain't tired. I ain't tired of waiting on him. I know he's eternal, and I know he knows exactly when we're going to get our body changed, and I'm going to stand right on that promise and not move one inch. Amen. Oh, they might try to find better ways. Well, we're eating on the body word of the Son of Man now. So this is the equivalent of our chain. Oh, no, it's not. Like Brother Childers stood up right there in that front row. He said, don't take away my marriage supper from me. Don't try to put me to sleep with some shot of unbelief. Trying to tell me we got to figure out another way. They're tired of his coming. They're tired of waiting on God. So they're trying to make it happen. You're not going to make it. It's going to happen when he says it happened. I don't know how. I don't know where, but I know it's going to happen. Because God said it. I'm not leaning on my understanding. I'm not looking at how old I'm getting. I'm getting older. I was 20 years old when I heard that promise. And I've been waiting down a long time, Brother Don. But I ain't taking it back. I'm not going to take another route. I'm not going to say, oh, God's word said, but that's what Sarah ran into. She thought, let me get you Hagar, because Hagar was younger than me. Hagar was better than me. Hagar can take a baby. She can handle it. Abraham, I see you looking younger. I see you can carry seed now. Abraham, I can't do that, but I want you to go into Hagar trying to find a better way. She used her own understanding. Messed the whole program up. They're fighting today because of her understanding. She used her own understanding, and today they're still fighting. But that wasn't God's word. That wasn't what God said. So when God speaks to you and you hear his word, you stay right there on that regardless. Regardless of what it looks like. Regardless of what you even think. Oh, I get tired. I know it's been a while. I've been looking for the dead to get up for a long time. But I'm every day looking. Every day still looking. Abraham, look for that city. I'm looking for that city. I'm looking for that body change. I'm looking for that promise because God said it. I don't know how he's going to do it. I don't know when he's going to do it, but I know he's going to do it.
So how do you know? I believe him.
Amen.
I believe God. Yes. And I'm taking him at his word. Yes. He said he's coming again.
Right.
He said he's going to get us up. The dead's going to get up. Yes. He said we'll be changed in a moment in a twinkling of an eye. I can't believe nothing else.
Right.
I won't even look at anything else.
Right.
Abraham knew God gave him a promise.
Yeah.
And he stood right there and said, doesn't matter what Sarah looks like.
Right.
Doesn't matter what he looked like.
Right.
Doesn't matter how the society around him got off.
Right.
Don't matter how many doubters were around him said it wasn't going to happen. They tried to make another way to happen. And God's word still remained the same.
Yeah.
People in this message trying to find a way around the marriage supper.
Right.
Well, we're leading on the body. We're the Son of Man. We're in heavenly places now. And they try to soft soap the rapture. I can't soft soap the rapture. God said, I'm going to be changed and I will be changed.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Amen.
Don't take away my marriage suppers, brothers, children, cry.
Amen.
God said, I'm going to have a marriage supper, so I'm going to have a marriage supper.
Amen.
God said, I'm going to unite with the dead, so I'm going to unite with the dead.
Amen.
How's it going to happen? I don't understand how it's going to happen. I don't have to understand. I just have to know he said it.
Amen.
When God's word says something, you can build your life around that. That's why your life should be built around the word now.
Amen.
Abraham stood right there. Though education told him something different. Though Sarah told him something different. He stood on a promise. That's why he's the father of faith. He's a father. He's our father. Because he believed God. And he didn't look at nothing else. He didn't worry about what his body looked like. I know myself. I'm getting older. I'm slowing down. I'm not as young as I used to be. I can't run as fast as I used to be. I'm gaining weight. I'm getting gray hair. I got glasses. Time is catching up with me, but I'm not going to move off that promise of a body change at all.
Amen.
I'll stay right there. Maybe the people in the message might decide, well, we're not going to go in the rapture. I'll stay right there. They might be looking for Brother Branham to come back. I don't need Brother Branham to come back. I need to come back with the rest of the saints. I'll stay right there. They say, oh, we're getting tired because we've been waiting. There's so many people that have left this message because they got tired of waiting. I don't feel no ways tired.
No.
I'm so turned on by this message. I'm more turned on now than I've ever been in my life.
Amen.
I believe more than I've ever believed.
Amen.
I'm standing stronger than I've ever stood.
Amen.
Satan got more trouble with me now than he's ever had. Abraham grew stronger in faith.
Yes.
You should grow stronger in faith.
Yes.
When the body hasn't changed today, tomorrow you should be stronger in faith.
Yes.
Standing on God's promises, knowing that he said it. If God said it, don't worry about what your husband says. Don't worry about what your children say. Don't worry about what you say. You stand right there. I don't understand it. Don't have to understand it. Just believe it. Lean not to your own understanding. Don't try to make it work. Don't try to make it fit. Don't try to make it answer for you. Just stand right there and say, Lord, I believe this.
Yeah.
That's not hard, Don. It's not hard for a believer. But if you're not a believer, you don't understand it. Church has gotten away from leaning on God. They don't lean on God. They're not trusting God. They're not looking to God. They're trusting in their education. They're trusting in their doctors of divinities. They're trusting in their big name preachers. In the message, out of the message. They're all trusting in a lot of other stuff. Why do you think they're turning their books back in? Preachers, big shot preachers, big name preachers, I'll call them, because none of us are. You know, Brother Parnell used to say, a big shot is a little shot away from home. So these big shot preachers are walking away from the message. People you would have never dreamed. They're giving it up. No patience, no faith, no revelation. No, they're just giving it up. You can't just give up God. Be still. Know that I'm God. Know that if God ever said it, I believe it.
Amen.
I believe it. Church has gotten away from leaning on God. Revelation chapter 3, jumping down through, we know the church age. Because thou sayest, I'm rich, and increase with good, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. They think they got it fixed. They're leaning on their own understanding. They're leaning on their smart, educated preachers. They tell you a lot of good things. And I'm not saying they don't. They tell you a lot of good things. But getting you to the place where you can believe God, their message doesn't do it. You walk out just as dead as you were when you walked in, if not deader. No hope. When I lead y'all out of here, I want you to have hope. Yeah. I want you to have faith. Yeah. I want you to believe more now than you did when you walked in the door. Yeah. I want you to be more secure now and more sincere and solid than you've ever been.
That's right.
Yes. That's what we're here to do. I'm not here to give you some good old Christmas story. I'm not here to try to make you feel good and give you some kind of social gospel that's going to make you rich. Just put the word out there and let the bride receive the word and believe it.
Amen.
You say, but I have a lot of problems in my life. I'm not worried about that.
No.
See, everybody's worrying about your problems. I ain't worried about your problems. God will take care of your problems. You get the word in your life and that will take care of your problems.
Amen.
Rich and increase with goods. This church is blind, wretched, miserable, poor, naked, and don't know it. The whole church fell under that condition. But we're supposed to come out of her. We're supposed to come out of her. Revelation 18 and 4. Won't read it. I'm just jumping down through. It's 12 o'clock. We're supposed to come out of her. And not just come out of the denomination. Come out of her thinking. Come out of the way that we think. The way that we do things. Start putting God's word ahead of you and what you think. Don't lean on your understanding. Don't need on lean on your knowledge of the message. Oh, I've been in a message long enough. I've got lots of knowledge. I don't lean on that. I don't lean on my knowledge. I lean on God. I trust in God. I trust in God's word. And I listen to that little still small voice. Let it speak to you. That same voice that speaks of me speaks to you. Don't ignore it. Don't lean on what you know and what you think you know. Lean on the word of God. Trust in the word of God. Have faith in the word of God. And he will see you through. Everyone has to lean. And can't lean on their own understanding. Noah couldn't. It was against the law of nature to do what Noah did. But he trusted because God said. Joshua, walking around the city, Jericho walls. It was impossible. Those walls, Brother Branham said, were so thick they'd had chariot horse riders around them. And they didn't have cannons. They didn't have nuclear weapons. All they had was fire and pitchers of water. That's all they had. Marching around the city. The people had to have faith in God. God said, this is what I want you to do. And God's word said, march around there seven times, once each day. Right. And on the seventh day, march around seven times, right. And I'll do the rest.
Yeah.
Amen.
Now, how stupid did that look to Joshua?
That's right.
Okay. Amen. He didn't even need a sword and spear.
He didn't understand it.
He didn't know how it was going to happen.
No.
Then he had old Rahab in there. It's like, how's he going to do this? And what we're going to do there? And how's she going to be saved? And he had a lot of things he could use his own thinking on to try to make it happen. But all he did was stood on the word of God. God said, march around the walls. It looked silly. Didn't make sense. Didn't match the warfare manual. Didn't match anything. All he had was the word of God. And he took the word of God and he followed the word of God. And on that seventh day, he went around there seven times and the walls come tumbling down against nature, against science, against warfare, against anything that made any sense at all.
Amen.
All because he stood on the word of God. God said we're getting a body change, folks. What are you going to do with that?
Right.
Are you going to try to diagnose it and just peer it apart and see how it's going to work and try to wait and figure it out for yourself? Or are you going to say, God said it? So I'm not going to lean on my understanding. My understanding says I can't walk through walls. My understanding says I can't fly. My understanding says I can't be changed in a moment. But what does God's word say? And when you build your life on that, all these other things will be added unto you. Lean not to your understanding. Lean on the word of God. And let God's word do what it wants to do in your life. Don't trust in your memory and your brain and your mind and your understanding. Trust in the promises of God. And he will, I guarantee, he will bring it to pass in your life. Because he said heaven and earth will pass away. But my word won't. And if God ever said it, it will happen. It will happen, church. It will happen. You say, I don't understand. Don't have to understand how it's going to happen. Just have faith in God. When you're sick, you don't look at the symptoms. You don't look at what the doctor says. You look at what the word of God says. By his stripes, I'm healed. You stand right there. You say, what if I die? Then I'm still healed. I cannot lose when I'm standing on the word of God. Satan always tries to play those games with you so that you won't believe God. Say, well, if you believe God and it doesn't happen, then Satan's, you believe in a God that lies to you. No, he's still true. He's still true. He just healed me in a way outside of my understanding. Sometimes we ask God for things and God doesn't give it to us like we want it. And the first thing we want to do is question God, like, God, did you make a mistake? Should it not have happened that way? I told you I wanted it this way. And you did that. And Lord, I don't understand. You don't have to. People think we have to understand why people die. You don't have to. It's just their time. Just keep believing for them. Keep believing for yourself. Keep believing for your family. And stand right there. Don't let Satan lie to your brain. Because all he's trying to do is feed you unbelief. Try to feed you to doubt. Try to feed you fear. And God's word says, it is written. How did Jesus defeat the devil? It is written. Amen. You're not going to defeat the devil with anything more than what he did. Amen. Satan, it is written. Lean not to your own understanding, but trust God. Believe God, and he will bring every bit of his scriptures to pass. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for your word. Because it's the only thing that's perfect. The only thing that won't fade away. The only thing that we could trust 100%, knowing that, Lord, you are going to bring it all to pass as you see fit. Help us to not lean on our thinking and our understanding, and not even so much of what we know about the message, but, Lord, I don't care what I know about the message. I just need to be able to trust you because you said it. Not because I know a lot and understand a lot, but because you said a lot. And Lord, this congregation here, we're waiting for a body change. And we won't stop believing it until it's done. We got a marriage supper to go to. We got family and friends to meet. We won't stop until it's done. Help us, Father, to stand strong. Let us be stronger today leaving here as we were than we were when we got here. Let's have more faith in you now than we had when we walked in the door. Not trying to understand everything, but having faith in you, knowing that if you said it, which you have, then you'll see it to pass. Thank you for all you've done. Be with us and help us to be strong believers and stand out on every word. Thank you, Father. I ask these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 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 Come on, musicians. Have faith in God. Amen. Have faith in God. Yes, sir, Brother Lockett.
That was one of the greatest messages.
Amen.
I mean, it was just plain and simple.
Yes.
Everybody can understand it. It was great. I appreciate it. Amen. Now I want to back there to Rahab, what you were talking about.
Oh, yeah.
You know she was a believer?
Yes, she was.
She was a prostitute.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't the message founder.
Yeah, that's right.
But she was a believer.
Yes, she was.
She believed God, and she was saved. God took protect her.
That's right.
When that
yes,
wall went down, it stopped right at her house.
Right there.
Amen.
Right at her faith.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So, believe God. Amen. I'm learning how to do that. You just don't do it overnight. Now,
no, sir.
Okay.
No, you don't.
You don't just do it overnight.
Mm-mm.
Just had to keep working on it.
You do.
Keep working on it. Little by little. And then you get to a place you say, well, if God said it.
Yep.
Hey, that's the end of it.
Amen. Amen. That's right. You know, brother,
bless you.
Brother Brandon was talking about that faith. Having that faith is like swimming. So you got to learn. You got to learn to trust God. And you got to do it like David did. David didn't come out here and say, I'm going to hit you, Goliath, right between your understanding. He first got built up to there. And if God ever gave you one thing, trust that. Have faith in that. Take another step. And take another step. Eventually we'll step ourselves right out of here. That's what we want, church. Come back tonight at 7 o'clock. And let's see what God has in store for us. Have